Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, Father Jerome Zeiler, and Father Charles Schonk. Let's begin with a prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Today we're going to talk about a day in the life of a Dominican priest. I know when I was very young, I used to wonder about what priests did all week. I saw them in church a lot on Sunday. I assumed that they just kind of went to church over and over and over again on Sunday, and they just sat at their desk twiddling their thumbs the rest of the week. And I'm sure there are many other people that wonder, what do priests do when I don't see them, you know, during the week? And so we're going to try to address that question today from a few different perspectives. We're all Dominicans, but we do have different dimensions, you know, of our of the life represented here. We have one priest, Father Charles, who is teaching part-time. We have another priest, Father Jerome, who is involved very much in our young adult ministry and does some spiritual direction as well. We have another priest, Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, who is just starting a preaching ministry and is helping out a lot in the area. And then one of the priests, myself, is a pastor, a first-time pastor. So let me start with Father Charles. What's a day in the life like for you?
Well, it's funny when you talked about what a priest do all day. It reminded me of my niece, Violet, who several years ago, she must have been, you know, 7 or 8 or something. She was visiting our parish in Cincinnati, St. Gertrude, and she saw me at Mass. This was before I was a priest. And then she saw me leave the sanctuary behind the reredos, that is behind the altar. And she asked my mom, she turned to her grandma and she said, "Mom, why did he go behind Jesus?" As if, you know, what is he doing? Where is he going? You know, so it is sort of a mysterious thing, I think, what priests do all day. But yeah, you know, I teach part-time, but I'm also full-time in the parish at St. Patrick's. So my life is pretty busy at this point. And, you know, one of the things I appreciate about parish life as a parish priest, it's also a source of anxiety sometimes, but one of the things I appreciate about it is you never know what to expect. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a new priest. I'm only ordained 2 years. And when you're in formation, you pretty much know what to expect. You know,
yeah.
I mean, your brothers can be unpredictable sometimes, but your life is very, how would one say, regimented. And after you're ordained, assigned to a parish, there's a lot less regimentation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you pray with the community at least twice a day. You have dinner with the community, and those are kind of structuring principles. But you know, when you go into the parish office, you don't know who's going to come through the door, what person you're going to meet next, what problem they're going to have, and so it can be a little overwhelming at first, but it's also very exciting, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like keeps you on your toes. So maybe that's a misconception people have about the life of a priest, is that it's boring or predictable, but nothing could be further from the truth. You know, it's just, you know, you're constantly dealing with situations that you don't expect, people that you don't expect, and sometimes you're kind of at a loss as to what to say or do. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, so that's the first thing I would say about being a priest.
Yeah, amen to that. I thought the same thing, that priest's life were boring. Now I wish my life were more boring.
Yes.
I could do with a little more boredom.
That's right. Yeah.
But you've just, Father Charles, you just recently started teaching one class at the Josephinum. So,
right.
So what's that as a new teacher as well as being a new priest?
It's great. It's, I'm teaching... probably some of the people I teach will listen to this, so I have to be careful what I say. But I'm teaching, most of my students are college freshmen. I'm teaching an intro to scripture class called Salvation History. And, it's taking me back to that time in my life when I first entered the Dominican order, and I had many, many questions. Mm-hmm. That's really fun, to revisit that part of your formation and to teach a class. It's called Salvation History. I mean, that's basically impossible to teach in one semester, Salvation History, but it's a really, the questions they ask are questions that I would have asked at that time in my life. And they're questions that bring, they're huge questions, that bring together so many different parts of the faith and theology. So it's really kind of exciting to be there when they're asking those questions. One of my students came up to me, I had been making the point that Jesus became man and he revealed God to us, and then he went back to heaven, and why would he have done that if he didn't ensure that we have an infallible authoritative source for interpreting what he revealed, right? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't make much sense for him to ascend into heaven and then leave each one of us to kind of draw our own conclusions. Right. And the reason he does this is because he's wise, but also because he loves us. Right. Mm-hmm. He gives us the church to lead and guide us. And one of my students came up to me after class and he said, I had never really thought about it that way. So that was just an example to me of how you can really, it's an exciting thing to be there for young men at that time in their life when they're asking those big questions.
Jeff, for people who may not be familiar with the institution or people from not the Columbus area, we're talking about the Josephinum, which is a pontifical seminary, right?
Right.
So
right.
Junior seminary as well as the major seminary.
Yeah, so I'm teaching the guys who are right out of high school, most of them.
Mm-hmm. And shaping their lives for their life with Christ and perhaps the service of God as priests themselves.
Yeah.
And you have to wake up pretty early
for
your schedule, right?
Yes, right. That's been, my class is at 8:30. It's their first class of the day. And sometimes I can tell it's their first class of the day. they'd rather be in bed. But I typically get up, 4:30 or 5 and make sure that I'm ready to tell them something intelligent.
Wow. So what's the rest of your day like after the after
rest
that?
Of the day? I come back to the parish. I usually go to the office, or sometimes I have mass to preach, hear confessions. That's another example, hearing confessions where you don't know who's going to come through the into the confessional next, mm-hmm. But preach, say mass, hear confessions. I'm also the chaplain to our youth group. So we have a wonderful youth minister, Patrick Rice, who does most of the work. But I'm the chaplain, so I, hear their confessions. I do Eucharistic adoration every week for the youth group. I'm there for them if they need me, and that's a wonderful thing. Those are some of the things that I do. Of course, pray with the community, have dinner with the community. It's a full life, very full mm-hmm. life.
You're listening to The Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by my fellow friars, Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, Father Jerome Zeiler, and Father Charles Shaw. We've been discussing what a day in the life of a Dominican priest is like. So now how about you, Father Jerome?
Well, it's funny. I was remembering when I was young, too, wondering what priests did all day. I said I wanted to be a priest at a young age, but I didn't know exactly what they did when they weren't saying Mass and everything. But one day we were at St. Thomas Aquinas, grade school parish where I was, and I saw Father Deschatel, who actually has become a bishop now. But he was there, and he had a 1955 Ford. It was cherry red with white pinstripes, and it was a convertible. And he was washing it on this glorious Sunday day. Another priest had the Mass, and I just thought, yes, that's what I want. I want to be a priest. I want to say Masses and hear confessions and get a 1955 convertible cherry red and just ride around in that when I'm not saying Mass. So, but later I decided to be a Dominican, so I don't know.
So no cherry red convertible for you.
Yeah, that's right. No, but it depends. Like, we have a rotating schedule, so sometimes you have the 7 a.m. Mass, so you got to get up a little earlier for that, especially if you really want some coffee. But with the hour fast. Otherwise, you could get up a little later. We have morning prayer and office of readings together as a community every day, as Father Charles said, and evening prayer every day together. We get in midday prayer on our own, and as religious, we also in Compline night prayer, and the rosary on our own, and some time for meditation and spiritual reading. So you try to fit that in where you can. It depends on the particular details of the schedule. But in the day, during the day, you know, if you have Mass, of course, spend some time to prepare the homily, a lot of spiritual direction. At St. Patrick's, a lot of people ask for spiritual direction. And it is nice, since there's so many priests, we do have time. I mean, I have time. I do have time to, you know, gives spiritual direction. I can't say yes to everyone, but
can we give everyone your phone number?
Yeah, that's right. That's a lot of it. People, you know, sometimes just phone calls, emails, just really asking for counsel regarding things. That's a big chunk of it, actually. I have three ministries. Here, my first assignment was at St. Gertrude's in Cincinnati, and that was really busy. I was RCIA, chaplain of the RCIA, and of the youth ministry, and of the young adult ministry, and of the Regina Veritatis Healing Prayer Ministry. and we had a full schedule apart from that as well. But here, my three main ministries are the Columbus Frasati Young Adult Group, which I really enjoy actually being chaplain of that. We do something every Thursday, adoration or Mass and a meal. We have Mass together and everyone brings contributions and we have a meal we have a scripture study. We join them for theology on tap. And then we have social events and sometimes service events as well. So planning goes into that, but we developed a core team, so they do, they help out a lot. The core team does, so that's great. The young adult ministry and then the Dominican laity. We have a thriving Dominican laity group at St. Patrick's. So I think there's over 40 members of that group. I'm chaplain of that group as well, so that's a great blessing. And then I'm also promoter of the Blessed Margaret Shrine and Guild.
So, you know, people write in letters and ask for prayers and sometimes counsel as well and that. And then sometimes we're free to help out on retreats, sometimes with Father James Brent. I help out with Focus Missionaries, their retreats especially. And, you know, sometimes we're preparing for these radio shows. we started, I'll have the next Into the Deep ongoing adult catechesis. We started that series. So, you know, it does change every day, but those are, it's components like that. Marriage preparation, sometimes helping someone with an annulment, maybe. things like that. Those are pretty much the main components.
Okay. Thanks, Father Jerome. How about you, Father Hayes?
Well, I'm only a couple months at St. Pat's. I've been a priest 29 years, and all that has been pretty much in parish life until now. And so I'm shifting to a new kind of ministry as an itinerant preacher. So I began to pick up some parish missions. I've got a couple of retreats with nuns' communities for canonical retreats, and so scheduled. So I'll be doing a lot of traveling, and I am doing a lot of traveling now. One of the things that I'm doing is filling in gaps. So if somebody's, we have a diocesan priest sick, we often get a call down at St. Pat's. You will get the call, Father mm-hmm. Hackett, and then I hopefully will be dispatched to be of assistance as best I can. And this, of course, also gives me the opportunity to speak to different groups, to maybe pick up other work in terms of I remember walking out of the Sarah Club with giving them a talk on vocations and walked out with two other assignments, you know, mm-hmm. from people who were there who needed a preacher and liked what I was doing. So I'm doing more of that. One of the things I like about St. Pat's is this is the first time since I left the House of Studies that I've been assigned to a priory. And as was reverted, you mentioned Father Jerome, we have more priests than many parishes do. And that enables the religious life that we have, which for me is wonderful, that we have a substantial number at every time we come to prayer, we have people. I have yet to sit alone in the chapel. For a scheduled prayer time, which has happened many times in the course of my 21 years of priesthood in smaller houses. I have a time to study and to prepare the longer retreats, which I will be giving in the future. So planning on how to program, if you want, a session on conversion. You know, I'm preparing currently a series of talks on understanding your sacraments of initiation through your sacramentals. Mm. And this is I'm tying this to an experience I had rather profoundly at Lourdes many years ago. But there's lots to be said, lots to be shared, stories to be put down on paper to be prepared for those moments when I'm actually asked to come out and preach. And so the study is an important part of my life right now, and that's a wonderful thing. Cardinal Cajetan and I think once said that a Dominican who studies less than 3 hours a day is in a state of mortal sin, which may be
well, I'll have an to go exaggeration. To confession on the way home from the station. Then.
I think studiosus means eager for the sacred word, for the sacred page. And I do, but I do think the idea of meditation, of sitting down with a sacred page, of climbing the ladder above. Of reading, of meditation, of prayer, of contemplation is a crucial one for a Dominican. If we're going to bring the fruits of a contemplation to other people, we have to be having time for contemplation. And we won't have time unless we make it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. I'm a new pastor, haven't been pastor quite a year yet. So I really enjoyed being an assistant pastor because you could just, you know, work with ministries. And so as a pastor, I have to deal with other things like building projects and collections and
leaks.
Yeah. All kinds of interesting leaks. Ideas. Yeah.
Sound systems.
Sound systems.
The boiler.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting though, too. I mean, I tell people if I had not followed my vocation to the priesthood, I probably would have been an engineer. So there's a part of that that appeals to me. Just today, just in the last few days, we've been trying to work on our sound system at St. Patrick's. Oh, I can hear some of the people cheering, actually. And I was just working on a project we really wanted to do of installing a hearing loop at St. Patrick's, which will help people with hearing aids or cochlear implants be able to hear. And I'm really excited about that. So we were just kind of wrapping that up in the last few days. But to back up, I guess I try to wake up early enough for the 7 o'clock mass if I don't have the 11:45 mass. And then, of course, I join the rest of the friars in morning prayer at 8, and then often we'll hang around for breakfast. Hopefully I'll get over to the office, you know, and as the rest of you have said, you don't know what's going to be waiting for you at the office. Usually at least several phone messages and many emails. Sometimes a meeting. As a pastor, I have lots of meetings. And I have to admit, I do kind of like meetings. Wow. One of those rare people. Probably some people don't like meetings as much as I do. So I follow the meetings go too long sometimes. But I've got a fair number of meetings about all kinds of things.
Father Stephen is a very patient man.
Let's see. So just today's meeting with our wonderful business manager talking about some of these projects we're working on. Also hearing confessions, and also meeting with people individually sometimes for appointments, and just trying to sometimes just taking a chance to look at the bigger picture of the parish, you know, and planning what's important. That's one of the great challenges as a pastor is you have so many things that come across your desk, across your email, but trying to keep track of the bigger picture, the real direction of the parish. So part of that, I just keep on my whiteboard in my office, you know, big picture. Actually, in that whiteboard came from St. Gabriel Radio. They just remodeled their studio, so they kindly gave me their whiteboard. So that's being put to good use, I can assure you. And then, of course, we have our we're about to go, after we record the session, to our weekly schedule meeting to talk about our schedule, how we can work out our weekly schedule, how we can help out other parishes. We have a couple of other parishes that have requests in that they're waiting for us to get back to them about helping them. And we'll have dinner together, after evening prayer, when we have dinner. And then after dinner, I think I actually have a rare free evening this evening. So I don't know. Maybe...
Sometimes we play, Father Stephen, Father Charles, and I like to play Dominion. It's a little board game. We really enjoy it.
Father Jerome really likes to play Dominion.
Yeah.
And Father Jerome rarely loses, although he did lose recently.
That was horrible.
It was horrible.
Yes, so we do have fun. That's an important thing to mention, you know, that we do have fun together. And we do recreate together, and that's really an essential part of our life, fraternity. And one of the things I really appreciate about being a religious priest living in community is you almost always have someone to talk to at the end of the day. Mm-hmm, you know, true. So if you've had a stressful day, or just an exciting day, you know, you can just tell people about it, and that really helps. Your mental health, I think, to have that. Another thing that I was thinking about as we were talking is, especially in a parish, of course, as a priest, you don't have your own family, you know, you don't have a wife and kids, but, in a way, everyone's family is your family. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, that's not literally true, but there's a way in which, one of the things that's very edifying to me as a priest is big, happy families, mm-hmm. You know, and in a way you see these beautiful families, these beautiful children, and they add joy to your life as a priest. and then you can go home and close the door, and you don't have to deal with all of the frustrations of family life. You know? And that's a wonderful thing. So,
yeah, that is true. That is true. I should also mention we have a brother Paul. He's not a priest, but he's a Dominican in Solemn Vows. Brother Paul very generously works full-time during the week at Holy Family Soup Kitchen. So he has a special kind of apostolate that takes him, during the weekdays out there. His schedule is pretty regular, helping with the food pantry and with stocking the inventory at the food pantry, and kind of helping to manage it. And yet he too, even though he has that different kind of apostolate, he comes back as well. He's back one of our most regular attendees at the, at our prayer, at our community dinner, at our community recreations. So that's at least a little glimpse at what the day in the life of a Dominican priest is. So now let's end in prayer. Our prayer that we pray at the end of each day to our founder, Saint Dominic. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.